Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, February 6, 2019. Coming up this hour.
President Trump yields no ground on his proposed border wall.
The proper wall never got built. I will get it built.
BNP Paribas outlines new measures to cut costs as trading revenue slumps.
And shares of Snap surge as revenue tops estimates.
President Trump pushes back against the Mueller probe and other investigations, plus reaction to the State of the Union speech. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Another loss for the Knicks. That's 14 in a row, beaten by Detroit at the Garden. Islanders and Devils both lost. St. John's an upset win at Marquette.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good morning, I'm John Tucker.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures and European equities are lower as a drop in German factory orders adds to signs the euro area economy is losing momentum. It is 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 4 points, Dow futures down 43, NASDAQ futures down 10, the DAX in Germany is down about 0.5%, CAC in Paris down 0.2%, so is the FTSE 100. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 0.1%. 10-year Treasury up 4/32, yield 2.68%, yield on the 2-year 2.50%. NYMEX crude oil down 1% on 53 cents to $53.12 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.1% on $1.40 to $13.17.80 an ounce. The euro $1.13.88 and the yen 109.65. John.
We begin with President Trump delivering his second State of the Union address. It was a somewhat combative speech, with the president yielding no ground on his proposed border wall.
The lawless state of our southern border is a threat to the safety, security, and financial well-being of all America.
The president offered Democrats nothing in exchange for the wall, leaving open the possibility of another government shutdown in 10 days' time.
President Trump also took aim at the healthcare industry, making lower drug pricing his next priority.
To lower the cost of healthcare and prescription drugs and to protect patients with pre-existing conditions.
And that is healthcare stocks falling in Europe, with shares of GlaxoSmithKline, Novo Nordisk, and Sanofi all down around 1%.
The president also addressed trade talks with China in his speech, saying any deal with Beijing must include real structural change.
To end unfair trade practices, reduce our chronic trade deficit, and protect American jobs.
Up next on the trade front, U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer and Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin lead negotiations in China next week. That could ultimately pave the way for a meeting between President Trump and Xi Jinping.
We'll have more on the State of the Union and the Democratic response shortly, but first, some earnings this morning. Shares of BNP Paribas are down 0.5% after the French bank lowered its forecast for revenue and profitability. Chief Financial Officer Lars McNeil.
If you look at the overall revenue pool, it is, our outlook is a little bit more moderate than what we had in the past.
And as BNP planning nearly $700 million in additional cost cuts and shifting focus to its investment bank, where trading income fell 40% in the fourth quarter.
Earnings were a mixed bag for Walt Disney. Shares gained 0.5% after the company beat recently lowered estimates. Let's get details in this report from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellet.
Gains in the company's broadcast division countered slumping cable results. Profit at Disney's largest business, TV programming, gained 7% as the company continued to battle viewer losses. Cord cutting by cable TV audiences has led Disney to stake much of its future on paid streaming services. Profit in cable TV, led by the ESPN Sports Network, slipped 6%. ABC's earnings grew 40%. Charlie Pellet, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Charlie, thank you. Shares of Snap are surging, the maker of Snapchat posting revenue that beat estimates, though it failed to add new users. And as some analysts like Roger McNamee at Elevation Partners concerned for the company's future.
When I see Snap, I worry enormously because Facebook has been integrating Snap-like features into Instagram for 2 years, and that's had a huge impact on the audience growth, whereas Instagram you know, it's growing very rapidly, and Snap is not. So I still think Snap's situation is perilous, and I worry very much about their viability long term.
Still, the stock is gaining because most analysts had expected users to shrink. Snap says it's cautiously optimistic that users will remain level again this quarter. Shares are up about 23% in early trading.
And shares of Electronic Arts, meanwhile, down more than 15%. The video game maker's revenue fell short of estimates after its latest title flopped and competition from rival games contributed to a difficult quarter.
Auto earnings are in focus with shares of Daimler down around 3%. The carmaker is forecasting just a slight increase in profit for 2019 after a decline last year. Bloomberg's Joe Easton reports.
For Daimler, earnings declined in all divisions during 2018 except heavy trucks. So profitability in the key Mercedes-Benz car unit narrowed to around 7.8% from 9.4%, revealing these strains of investing in major technological shifts. And they're also battling those trade wars between the U.S. and China, and as such, those shares are down this morning.
Daimler is also cutting its dividend for the first time in 9 years.
Toyota Motor is lowering its forecast after third quarter income missed estimates. A slumping stock market forced Toyota to write down the value of its equity holdings, adding to headwinds for the automaker as it faces a shrinking global car market.
Up next on the auto front, earnings from General Motors due out this morning. Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger reports.
GM's 2019 earnings outlook was far more positive than the guidance from the automaker's competitors. Bloomberg Intelligence says the company's fourth quarter results will provide a view into what drove the bullish forecast in the face of industry headwinds. Forecasts are for General Motors to post an adjusted profit of $1.25 a share on revenue topping $36.5 billion. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Jeff, thank you. S&P futures down 5 points this morning. Dow futures down 48. NASDAQ futures down 12. The 10-year Treasury up 4/32. The yield 2.68%. The yield on the 2-year 2.50%. NYMEX crude oil down 1.33% at $52.95 a barrel. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
All right, thanks, Karen. 5:07 on Wall Street. And that's time for news from around the world. And we say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
John, thank you very much. President Trump declared the State of the Union strong as he delivered his first address to a divided Congress. President Trump said the country was undergoing an economic miracle, but then made mention about investigations as he warned of what could derail that progress.
And the only thing that can stop it are foolish wars, politics, or ridiculous partisan investigations.
In the Democratic response, former Georgia gubernatorial nominee Stacey Abrams argued that President Trump and Republicans have left the nation's middle class adrift by abandoning the values of fairness and equality.
In Georgia and around the country, people are striving for a middle class where a salary truly equals economic security. But instead, families' hopes are being crushed by Republican leadership that ignores real life or just doesn't understand it.
More reaction to the president's address, former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie.
This guy gave a bipartisan speech tonight. He gave a speech where he talked about lowering prescription drug costs, where he talked about, he signaled very clearly that he's ready to make a deal on the border. If you couldn't hear that, then you haven't been in politics long enough. Now, the fact is, he gave the kind of speech that people wanted him to, up to and including acknowledging the new women of the Congress.
However, freshman Congress member Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez became a brief focus of attention when President Trump blasted socialist politics. After the speech, Representative Cortez told ABC that shows progressive Democrats are getting under his skin.
He has no vision for this country. Everything is about what he doesn't want. Everything is about the boogeyman. But he actually has no positive, substantive vision or ideas to advance for the United States of America. I think we saw that tonight.
A second summit between President Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un is set for Vietnam at the end of the month. President Trump announced the plan for the meeting during his State of the Union address. President Trump and Kim met last June in Singapore. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter.
Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. Coming up on 510 Wall Street, time now for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. And here's John Stashower.
John, a lot of intrigue in and around the NBA trade deadline, 3 o'clock tomorrow. The biggest question being whether New Orleans trades its disgruntled star Anthony Davis to the Lakers, who are now said to be offering 5 young players and 2 first-round draft picks in return. Lakers last night lost at Indiana by 42. L.A. Clippers have traded their top scorer, free agent to be Tobias Harris, to Philadelphia. The Knicks already made their big move. They got a young point guard back from Dallas in that Kristaps Porzingis trade, and Dennis Smith was impressive last night at the Garden, 25 points. Of course, Knicks never led the Pistons. Detroit won 105-92. Knicks coach David Fizdale found a silver lining.
You know, we got to make shots. Obviously, I think we probably had that fourth quarter 4 or 5 wide open threes that we missed. Missed bad, too. But I'll take those shots from the guys that was taking them. So what I saw tonight was more cohesion with the new guys, a little more organization.
But the question with Fizdale's Knicks right now, will they ever win again? They've now lost 14 in a row. Islanders in Boston lost 3-1. Bruins 2 goals in the third period. The LA Kings off an overtime win over the Rangers went to Newark, scored 4 times in the final period, and down the Devils 5-1. Great win for St. John's, one that'll help their NCAA tournament resume. 70-69 at 10th-ranked Marquette. Shamori Pons hit the go-ahead shot with 16 seconds left. Rutgers lost to Michigan. Syracuse lost to Florida State. Manhattan beat Rider. For the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. John?
Hi, John. Thanks. Another Major League Baseball owner is jumping into the bidding for the 21 regional sports networks being sold by Walt Disney Company. Sources say Minnesota Twins owner Jim Palmody is joining Platinum Equity and Liberty Media's bidder group. Liberty, controlled by John Malone, owns basketball's Atlanta Braves, while Platinum chairman Tom Gores owns the Detroit Pistons. Disney's required to sell the networks because of its $71 billion takeover of the entertainment arm of 21st Century Fox. S&P futures this morning, they are 5 points lower. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Daybreak brought to you by Stevens Institute of Technology, the Quant School on the Hudson, with an online master's in financial analytics that teaches the latest data science techniques. Learn more at stevens.edu/fintech.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks in Europe drifting lower after a drop in German factory orders added to signs that the region's economy is losing momentum, while mixed reports from corporate heavyweights did little to improve the mood. U.S. stock index futures also on the decline, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 4 points, Dow futures down 40, NASDAQ futures down about 8. The DAX in Germany is down 0.33%. 10-year Treasury up 4/32nds, yield 2.68%, yield on the 2-year 2.50%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.3% now, down 71 cents to $52.96 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.1% on $1.40 to $13.1780 an ounce. The euro is at $1.1392, the yen 109.64. Another busy morning for earnings. 20 companies in the S&P 500 are scheduled to report, including General Motors, Eli Lilly, and Fox. And at 8:30, we get a report on the trade balance. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. In last night's State of the Union address, President Trump once again made his case for a wall along the southern border, while calling for unity over partisan politics. However, the president took aim at Special Counsel Mueller's investigation, saying, if there is going to be peace and legislation, there cannot be war and investigation. President Trump pledged to bring home U.S. troops from Syria and to negotiate an exit from Afghanistan after almost 2 decades of war, saying in his address that great nations do not fight endless wars. Just hours before the speech, the Republican-controlled Senate voted to require President Trump to impose new sanctions on Syria.
In the NBA, the Knicks lost. The Celtics won. In the NHL, the Islanders lost to the Bruins 3-1. The Devils lost. The Capitals were winners. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. Coming up on 520 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. Well, as Karen mentioned, stocks in Europe drifting lower. Futures in the U.S. pointing to a lower open. Let's bring in our first guest this morning, Michael Hewson, Chief Market Analyst at CMC Markets. Michael, we're all data dependent, so let's look at the data from Europe. Kind of crummy, especially from Germany this morning.
Yeah, I mean, I think it just continues a theme of economic weakness that's been prevalent, I think, for several months now, John. I mean, we saw the PMIs earlier this week, and they were pretty disappointing, particularly from France and Italy. And Germany, again, with a very weak factory orders numbers following on from a very weak November one, we've now got a very weak December one. And I think that really does crystallize concerns amongst an awful lot of people in Europe that the ECB is going to find it very, very difficult, European Central Bank is going to find it very, very difficult to really signal any further tightening measures, apart from obviously the fact that they've ended their asset purchase program. And I really do question the wisdom of them doing that.
They actually have a revision to growth and in the inflation forecast. I think we get that tomorrow, or at least this week. That's going to be downward, right?
It's got to be downward. I mean, one of the things that Mr. Draghi highlighted in his recent meeting was that economic risks had tilted to the downside. But he also went on to say that he felt that any economic weakness was likely to be temporary. Well, I don't see that. I don't see that at all. I don't think it's any coincidence that the economic environment in Europe has been weakening at precisely the time that the ECB signaled that it was weighing back its or it was reining back its asset purchase program. You can look at the peak in the DAX and basically plot it from the time that the ECB signaled they were going to end their bond buying program at the end of last year. And you know, European stocks are struggling to rally. We're getting a bit of a we've had a bit of a rebound this week. Yesterday, we saw a very big, you know, we saw a fairly decent rebound pretty much across the board. But again, I think what this morning's factory orders data has done is recrystallized those concerns about the upside for European equity markets, despite the fact that we have bounced off the lows that we saw in December.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, is the risk appetite diminishing? Or it sounds like just the opposite, though, with this data.
I think it's caution more than anything else. I think if you look at the earnings numbers, they're pretty decent. But I think there is a concern that once President Trump has finished with China, he'll start to turn his attention to Germany, and particularly Europe. And I think that's why you're finding that the usual suspects of automakers, obviously there are concerns about diesel emissions and what have you, which is reining back the sector there. You're seeing a broader slowdown in global demand. So while I think the US economy is going great guns, and President Trump articulated that in the State of the Union last night, the US economy does stand apart at the moment. It does appear to be diverging, or has been diverging for quite some time now, from pretty much everyone else, and that's going to be a problem going forward for the U.S. economy.
Do rates, rate differentials, if there are any, do they matter?
I think they do, yes. I certainly think they mattered in 2018 when everyone was piling into the dollar, and you were finding the emerging market central banks were having to tighten policy to try and defend their currencies. We don't really want any more divergence, and I think that's why the Fed is done for this year. I don't think we're going to see any further rate rises from the Fed this year. I think this Fed tightening cycle is over. The big question is what happens next and the timing of the next move in monetary policy, because the ECB is not going to be tightening anytime soon. The Chinese central bank is likely to add further stimulus on top of the stimulus it's already added, which means that the Fed, I think if it wants to move next, it's likely to be more to the downside than the upside.
You know, I'm reminded that Japan was always the big petri dish for all of these policies. How close are we to that, and you know the lost decades that we saw in Asia?
I think we're not far away in Europe. I certainly think if you're looking at the way the European Central Bank monetary policy currently is, they're already in negative rate territory, and the fact that they've still got an extraordinarily loose monetary policy, and Germany, Italy, and France are slowing down, that speaks to me that monetary policy here in Europe is likely to remain very much geared towards the downside for the foreseeable future. And if you want to look at a petri dish, as you said, then Japan is your model. I really don't see any way out unless the European policymakers deal with the problems of the European banking system, which still haven't been adequately addressed.
All right. Smart conversation, Michael, as always. We appreciate it. Michael Eusen, the chief market analyst at CMC Markets, joining us this morning from the UK. Again, stocks in Europe drifting lower after that drop in German factory orders. And here in the U.S., the futures pointing to a lower open. S&P futures right now 4 points lower. That's down about a tenth of a percent. The Dow futures down 33. That's down a tenth. And the Nasdaq E-mini futures 6 points lower. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Daybreak brought to you by Land Rover. Take every journey to the next level during the Only Adventure sales event now through April 1st. Visit your local tri-state area Land Rover retailer for special lease and finance offers. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm John Tucker.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are lower as investors derive little fresh optimism from President Trump's State of the Union address. He gave no clear path to avoid another government shutdown, though he did say the U.S. and China are getting closer to a trade deal.
But it must include real structural change to end unfair trade practices, reduce our chronic trade deficit, and protect American jobs.
And we'll have much more on the State of the Union in just a minute.
But first, stocks in Europe lower after 6 days of gains. Disappointing earnings and a drop in German factory orders are adding to signs the region's economy is losing momentum.
Daimler shares are lower by 3%. The automaker struck a cautious tone, forecasting a slight increase in profit this year.
Toyota cut its full-year forecast after a dive in the stock market forced it to write down its equity holdings.
Shares of BNP Paribas are down 0.5%. France's biggest lender lowered its forecast for revenue and profitability.
Disney shares rose 0.5% in late trading. First quarter sales and profit beat recently lowered estimates.
Shares of Snap are up more than 20% in early trading after users remain steady in the fourth quarter. We get more from Emily Chang in the Bloomberg 960 San Francisco newsroom.
The steady numbers were somewhat of a victory for Snap after analysts predicted daily users would instead shrink. Snap says it's been able to add more advertisers and therefore demand through the use of automated advertising tools. But CEO Evan Spiegel will need to do a lot more to grow the still unprofitable business into something more sustainable. In San Francisco, I'm Emily Chang, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Emily, thanks. And coming up today, General Motors leads 20 companies to the S&P 500 reporting earnings.
S&P futures are lower this morning, down 4 points. Dow futures down 31. NASDAQ futures down 6. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. The DAX in Germany is down about 0.3%. CAC in Paris down 0.1%. And the FTSE 100 is down almost 0.1%. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 0.1%. 10-year Treasury up 4/32nds, yield 2.68%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.51%. NYMEX crude oil down 1% or 54 cents to $53.12 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.1% at $1,317.40 an ounce. The euro at $1.1393 and the yen at 109.67. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 5:33 on Wall Street time now for news from around the world, and we say good morning once again to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you, John. President Donald Trump called for bipartisanship in his State of the Union address last night, but also stuck with his hard-line immigration policies. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
Mr. Trump said the State of the Union is strong, calling for unity of purpose.
Hoping that we will govern not as two parties, but as one nation.
Trump did not call a national emergency in his State of the Union, but he did again make a case for his border wall.
Simply put, walls work and walls save lives.
He said no one has benefited more from the thriving economy than women, to which the new members of Congress, mostly women, stood up, an apparent understanding that it was resistance to the president that got them elected. The theme of the Democratic reply from Stacey Abrams, moral leadership, working families.
We may come from different sides of the political aisle, but our joint commitment to the ideals of this nation cannot be negotiable.
She said America was built on hard work and not on the cynicism of a power grab. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
A caravan of about 1,700 Central American migrants has reportedly arrived at a Mexican border city just west of Eagle Pass, Texas. The Department of Homeland Security says the caravan will not be allowed in. Images from local media show officers with riot gear and shields at the scene. Democratic Senator Amy Klobuchar said she plans to make a big announcement on Sunday, boosting the speculation that she will join the growing pool of presidential hopefuls. Sources close to Virginia Governor Ralph Northam says he will wait out the firestorm over a racist yearbook photo, but Bloomberg's Nancy Lyons reports the school that published the picture is taking action.
The photo, showing one man in blackface, another in a KKK robe, was found in Eastern Virginia Medical School's 1984 yearbook. The school says it's hired a law firm to conduct an independent investigation into the picture, as well as the school's culture. School President Richard Homan was asked if that is Northam in the photo.
We do not know, and that's part of the investigation. That's why we have the community advisory board and the law firm to be able to get the facts.
Homan says he has no idea how the photo in question made its way to the internet. In Washington, Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. Coming up on 5:36 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. And here's John Stashower.
John, will the Knicks ever win again? Their losing streak reached 14. Playing at the Garden certainly has been no advantage. Their last win at MSG was December 1st. Detroit led wire-to-wire. Pistons won 105-92. Blake Griffin scored 27 points. Dennis Smith Jr. led the Knicks with 25 in his second game with the team. LeBron James' worst NBA loss ever. Lakers fell at Indiana by 42. The question with the Lakers is, will they acquire Anthony Davis from New Orleans before tomorrow's trade deadline, now said to be offering the Pelicans a package of five young players and two first-round draft picks. The Clippers have traded top scorer Tobias Harris, who's going to be a free agent this summer, to Philadelphia. First-place Islanders lost in Boston 3-1, and the last-place Devils lost at home to the L.A. Kings 5-1. St. John's with a 70-69 upset win at 10th-ranked Marquette, who had only lost once in the Big East. The Red Storm came in slumping with five losses in the previous seven games. Shamori Pons led them with 28 points. Rutgers lost to Michigan. Syracuse was beaten by Florida State. Manhattan beat Ryder. Another duck boat parade in Boston, the 12th championship parade this century, and half of those titles have been won by the Patriots, whose owner is Robert Kraft.
I think this was our largest turnout ever, and they were so energized. It's what a great town we live in. You know, we need things to bring people together in today's world, and seeing the smiles and positive energy. We had the blitz for six, and we completed our mission.
Rob Gronkowski, not surprisingly, the star of yesterday's parade. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. John?
All right, John, thanks a lot. It is now 5:38 on Wall Street. The latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now, with a cover on the takedown that landed former Nissan chairman Carlos Ghosn in jail. Also in this week's issue, how Facebook's watch is struggling to deliver hits for the social media company. Sarah Fryer wrote the story for Bloomberg Business Week.
Facebook Watch was conceived to be the thing that would bring people into this sort of intentional experience the way they have when they're watching TV or YouTube or Netflix. It hasn't really worked out that way. It's been something that has been very much an afterthought for users.
And you could read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now. And also listen to Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time, right here on Bloomberg Radio. And it is now 5:38 on Wall Street. Time now for the Tri-State Business Report. Let's check in with Bloomberg's Ed Khoury. Good morning, Ed.
Hi, John. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio says he thinks Amazon will prevail in building its new campus in the city because no elected official wants to be known for turning down up to 40,000 jobs. Senator Michael Gennaris, an opponent of the deal, has been named to a board with veto power over the transaction. Apartment landlord Avalon Bay would rather sell condos in the tower it's building near Manhattan's Columbus Circle than collect rent. Avalon plans to collect 172 units in the building at 15 West 61st Street, which was initially conceived as rentals. At least 80% of the condos would be priced below $5 million. Well, the estate of David Rockefeller is giving more than $200 million to the Museum of Modern Art in New York. It's the biggest gift in its history. Rockefeller died in 2017. He was a longtime museum benefactor and trustee, donating masterpieces by artists including Picasso, Cezanne, and Matisse to its collection. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Khoury. John?
Yeah, thanks a lot. 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. And let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Steve Potusk, and on KNX in Los Angeles, I'm reporting on how traditional TV and theme parks paid off for Disney.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and on WBBM in Chicago, I'm talking about United Continental, revamping part of its regional jet fleet to add more first-class seats and amenities.
I'm Marcus Carlson on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on how office deals in the UK capital outpaced Manhattan.
I'm Ed Khoury on KFBK in Sacramento. I'm reporting Apple's head of retail operations will leave the company in April.
And those are just some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. And for the second time this year, Tesla cutting the price of its Model 3 sedan. All versions of the electric car will now cost $1,100 less, bringing the base price to just under $43,000. This is Bloomberg. Daybreak being brought to you by Marks Paneth, LLP. Marks Paneth Tax Advisors have helped family businesses reach their financial goals for over 100 years. At Marks Paneth, success is personal. Learn more at markspaneth.com/tax.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and this headline, crossing the Bloomberg, Siemens and Alstom suffering the final killer blow to their rail merger plans after European Union antitrust regulators refused to cave in to warnings about the looming threat of Chinese competition. Meanwhile, stocks in Europe are lower after a drop in German factory orders added to signs that the region's economy is losing momentum. U.S. stock index futures are also on the decline, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down about 6 points. Dow futures down 49. NASDAQ futures down 12. The DAX in Germany is down 0.6%. 10-year Treasury up 4/32, yield 2.68%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.51%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.9% or 50 cents to $53.14 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.1% on $1.80 to $13.1740 an ounce. The euro, $1.1396. The yen, 109.66. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. President Trump announced during his State of the Union speech that he will meet with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un in Vietnam on February 27th and 28th. This is the second meeting between the two leaders, a follow-up to their summit in Singapore last June. Also in the speech last night, the president called for bipartisanship, but also stuck with his hardline immigration policies, and the president pledged to bring home U.S. troops from Syria. In the NBA, the Knicks lost. The Celtics won. In the NHL, the Islanders lost to the Bruins 3-1. The Devils lost. The Capitals were winners. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. 5:49 on Wall Street. We are live for the Bloomberg Interactive Studios. Well, more on the State of the Union. President Trump calling for bipartisanship in the State of the Union address last night, but on his terms. Let's find out more. How the president's speech also is being received, Bloomberg Chief Washington Correspondent Kevin Cirilli joins us this morning with more.
Kevin, good morning. The word combative comes to mind. Is that a fair assessment?
Well, look, I think it depends on who you ask. You know, just after the speech ended last night, I interviewed Senator Chris Coons, a Democrat from Delaware, and I asked him point blank, you know, what he thought of the speech. And he said that there were parts of the speech where Democrats would be able to work with President Trump, whether it's infrastructure, drug prices, some areas of foreign policy, such as the situation in Venezuela. But then I asked him about the moment that he described in his words that he said fell flat inside of the chamber last night, when the president criticized the investigations. And he said that was, quote-unquote, chilling. That was a word from Senator Chris Coons. I also spoke with Republicans after the speech. They're very praiseworthy of President Trump. They said that it was him trying to negotiate ahead of another potential government shutdown. So I really think it depends on who you ask. I think in terms of as President Trump's speeches go, it could have been more combative based on other speeches that I covered. But it was quintessential President Trump in many ways. And I'm not sure it moves the needle forward on the short term in terms of the government shutdown.
Yeah, I mean, did he offer Democrats anything?
Yeah, I mean, I think what you saw from their reactions, right, inside of the chamber with Speaker Pelosi and even some other progressives, I think on the issue of drug pricing, I think on the issue of infrastructure, I don't think there's going to be a major infrastructure plan that moves forward, but on drug pricing, you could see that move forward. On foreign policy, in particular, again, Venezuela, but beyond that, the situation in China, the U.S. trade tensions, I think that you also saw some nonpartisan support there, particularly on the issue of intellectual property. Combating childhood cancer, I thought that was another strong moment for the U.S. Congress and for President Trump. So I think that given how divisive the political time is, I think that there were moments last night of brevity on both parties that I think, you know, the moment of President Trump telling the women in Congress to stand up and praising them, I thought that was a refreshing moment to see Republicans and Democrats, you know, cheering.
How much of the calculus is centered around possibly shifting blame if there is another shutdown?
Wow, I think that's a great question, because I think that in terms of President Trump's calculus, I mean, you didn't really see much of a political calculation last night to change course. He spent a considerable amount of time, I believe I counted 10 times, he referenced to the wall or walls within his nearly hour and a half long speech. It was not a political olive branch on the issue of the wall. I can tell you that privately, and Republicans that I spoke with in the last 24 hours, they're hoping that the president would try to build consensus and, you know, not necessarily help, but not make it a volatile situation on government funding even worse. So I think it'll be interesting in my reporting this morning, a question that I have for Republicans, you know, he could have sought to declare a national emergency, which he did not, which would have been would have made the situation more volatile. And he didn't do that, but he still, you know, largely spoke in campaign-style rhetoric. And that is something that he did campaign on. So on the issue of the wall, he is not budging, but he did not declare a national emergency. I guess I'm sort of dodging your question.
Is that a kind of an olive branch, the fact that he did not make a declaration, or just kind of an implicit admission that it's not going to work?
Well, so two things. I think it is in many ways, because I think it would have made it increasingly difficult to negotiate in the final days up on Capitol Hill between Republicans and Democrats. But the second thing that I will tell you is that when I talk to senior administration officials, they tell me that, okay, he might not declare a national emergency now, but he could get money from Congress and then declare a national emergency, have it go through the courts as a way to try to get even more money. So it could be a twofer. I think we in the media have been, like, presenting this as Congress or a national emergency. It could be both. It could be both. It could be both.
And we did hear about abortion last night, right? Haven't had that to come up in a while in a State of the Union address.
No, that did come up. And President Trump saying that he wants lawmakers to pass legislation against late-term abortions. That is something that you saw the reaction in the room. Republicans applauding. Most Democrats did not. Senator Joe Manchin actually did stand with the Republicans. He's a centrist Democrat from West Virginia. When President Trump said to work on building a culture of life. So there were a handful, like two or other three Democrats who stood with Senator Manchin. I don't have those names, but I will be looking for them this morning. But Senator Joe Manchin did stand.
Kevin, thanks a lot. We appreciate it. Bloomberg Chief Washington Correspondent Kevin Cirilli on the State of the Union address from President Trump last night. Karen.
All right, John, thank you. In legal news, President Trump's inaugural committee is under scrutiny by federal prosecutors in New York, and that's adding new legal woes for the president and his allies that stretch beyond the Russia probe. For more on this story, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks to Brad Moss, a partner at Mark's Aid.
Brad, it's a wide-ranging subpoena. What kinds of documents are prosecutors looking for?
It's going to be a number of issues. It's going to be emails. It's going to be text messages. But particularly, it's going to be correspondence between donors, particularly foreign donors, and members of the Trump inaugural committee outlining the extent to which they were trying to get around campaign finance laws and were trying to use these high-value donations to get tickets to the inauguration. Again, to a lot of the inaugural balls, that's where you make a lot of connections, where you can do a lot of, you know, kind of informal lobbying. There's very strict rules set forth to prevent foreign governments and foreign nationals from spending money to get into this, to use it as donations. But because of the way, the kind of lackadaisical way the Trump inaugural committee was run and this kind of hands-off approach, a lot of people end up breaking some rules. We've already had at least one guilty plea regarding use of straw donors, and it looks like the federal prosecutors in New York are concerned that there was a considerable additional violations.
So tell me, the prosecutors opened this investigation into Trump's inaugural committee late last year. What possible crimes does this subpoena indicate the feds may be looking into? Because I heard even conspiracy against the United States being mentioned.
Correct. Correct. So conspiracy against the United States was that kind of that all-encompassing conspiracy charge that's been coming out a lot lately, particularly with the Mueller probe, but that other federal prosecutors can use, that concerns the administration, the campaign finance laws. There's wire fraud, tax fraud, a number of issues of people not properly reporting what they're supposed to report on tax returns, on the corporate and the campaign tax returns, things along those lines. And there's concerns about bribery. I mean, look, we're talking about people buying tickets and using high-value donations to try to get into these balls in violation of existing laws in order to informally and impermissibly lobby incoming members of the Trump administration. This is why the public corruption unit in New York, in Manhattan in particular, is notoriously good. They're very high quality. This is what they do, and they have got some serious concerns. They've started into this the moment they raided Michael Cohen's office, the president's former personal attorney. They got all kinds of documents and voice recordings. There's a lot of issues. They've already had people subpoenaed. They've already got cooperation from the Trump Organization as well. There's going to be more to this. It's going to take some time for them to go, however, through all these documents.
And that's Brad Moss, a partner at Mark Zaid, speaking with the Bloomberg's June Grasso. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law, weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio. And find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information. Futures are lower this morning, and Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.